The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. What's happening, everyone? Yes, 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 yes. It's that time again. Welcome to CPA Reviewed, where we make the CPA exam more exciting than it should be. I am your host, Jeff Elliott. Today is Friday, December 9th. All right, well, scores came out on Wednesday. At least a lot of people got their scores. And, people in California were going insane due to the California Board of Accountancy's website picking an inopportune time to go down. So California people, I hope you have your scores. And, well, I guess I'll say one thing about people whose scores didn't come out like they wanted to. Obviously, that means that you did not get a 75 or above. And I get quite a few emails from people who are wanting to throw in the towel. And they want to email me directly versus post it on the another71.com forum. Because sometimes people on the forum are not as sympathetic, I guess. I think it all depends on how you come across. If you come across as blaming everyone but yourself, then you're probably going to get attacked. But plus the score release time, it's like a full moon. It turns everyone into accounting werewolves. it can be brutal. But you know the average candidate does not pass the first time. I think the first time pass rate is somewhere below 30%. And walking into any given exam on any given day, less than half of the people will pass that exam statistically. And so all that to say, you know, if failing the CPA exam is not a value judgment about yourself. This is a standardized test, and if you stick with it and if you persevere, you will pass. It's just that simple. Some people pass their first time. Some people take 20 exam sections. And there are those arrogant people out there who look down their nose at those people who take 20 sections to pass, but that's just because you have some major insecurity issues. I'm talking to the people who look down their nose, not the people who – I bet the people who take several times to pass naturally have some insecurity issues. They start to think the AICPA hates them or something. I know I did. I was like, after my back-to-back 74s, I was like, this thing's rigged. No, I didn't think it was rigged, but I thought, you know what? There's no way I got back-to-back 74s, and not only did I have back-to-back 74s in regulation, I lost my financial credit, which is about the worst thing that can happen. Well, that's not the worst thing that can happen on the CPA exam. The worst thing is to be totally prepared, go in, rock it out, and then kick your power cord on your computer or something. And it costs you like 15 minutes. Maybe that's worse. But so all of that to say, if you're not feeling too good about your exam scores this week, there's a lot of people just like you, and you are in an admirable position just to be able to take the CPA exam. So stick with it. And those people out there looking down their nose at other candidates for not passing the first time or the fifth time or the tenth time, get over yourself. All right. Today's show, we got several questions. Daniel writes, I have financial remaining, but my BEC credit expires in February, early February. Do I have to sit for the exam before that date, or do I have to be certified by that date? What about the ethics exam? Does that have to be finished before my expiration in February? you have financial remaining and your BEC credit expires. You need to go in, sit down, and take that exam before the expiration date. It doesn't matter if you get your score 5 weeks or 5 months later, as long as you sat down and passed that exam on that day, then your credit won't expire. And as far as the ethics requirement, normally, no. I mean, you have to, the ethics requirement comes after you've passed. And I don't even know if there's an expiration on that. It varies by state. My guess is that, well, I guess ask your state board, but as a general rule of thumb, after you pass, just take care of your ethics requirement and don't sit on it for 6 months. Simon writes, I failed my first exam financial with a 70. I studied for 6 months with my review course in the Wiley Test Bank. I thought I did pretty well. I really don't know where I went wrong. They told me I'm weaker in specific transaction events and comparable for the rest of them. Do you know what specific transaction events are? Specific transaction events on the CSO are for recognition, measurement, valuation, calculation, and presentation in the financial statements for not-for-profit organizations. So it means you are weaker on not-for-profit. Sonia writes, I currently have the Wiley 2011 regulation book. Will I be okay to study with this book, or should I purchase the 2012 book? You should get the 2012 book. There were some significant changes mid-year in 2011. You need the updated book for sure. Frederick says, BEC is my last exam, which I took recently and scored a 68. I'm running out of options, and my audit credit will expire on March 31st. Please help. Okay, your credit expires March 31st. That means that you have one more take at passing it. You scored a 68. And so that means that either you didn't put in the 110% effort or your review course is working for you. I'm guessing is not working for you. I'm just going to assume that it's the latter. That's the easier advice to give. It's easier to say, well, your review course isn't working for you, buy another one. So we'll take the harder approach. Let's say that you're not putting in your full time. Let's say that your review course is working for you. So it comes down to a matter of priorities. And when you're balancing work, family, just commitments, I know how that goes. So what you have to do is you have to want to pass BEC more than anything. If you've seen that Eric Thomas video on my site, I'm on another 71, he says you have to want success more than you want to breathe. Sometimes it costs you sleep. Sometimes you're so busy just cranking that you forget to eat. That's how bad you want to have success. For those who have not seen the video, Eric is from Detroit, and he was homeless for a couple of years. And he went on to defy the odds, and he has a PhD. and now he's a motivational speaker. So check his videos out on YouTube. It's E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher. Pretty much all of his videos are top notch, and they're free. Get his book too. I bought his book. So you have to want to pass BEC more than you want to breathe, Frederick. And only you know if you have a if you have a good review course. But I mean, the key is prioritize, study. Study effectively, like shut the email off, shut Facebook off. If you, whatever you have to do, because I know that studying for the exam is extremely boring. It is. And so it's easy to tune out and check ESPN and whatever. Just stop doing that. You can do that after you pass BEC. You can do that the day after you take your exam. So from now until your exam day, Frederick, you are going to resolve to do nothing but own BEC. That means if you have, like, that means when you have a spare 5 minutes, you're working multiple choice questions. Every night before you go to bed, you have, I'm just going to plug my Ninja Notes. You have the Ninja Notes. They work on an iPad. They work on your, they work on a phone. You can download them as a PDF. So instead of sitting there adjusting your fantasy football team before you go to bed or watching Netflix streaming, am I the only one that does that? Before you go to sleep, you're reading BEC Ninja. So it comes down to priorities. And if you need to invest, like if you've taken BEC five times, you don't say if you did. If you've taken BEC five times and you're using the same review course, it might not be your review course's fault. I mean, it's never the review course's fault. Most products out there are good enough to score you the 75. Some are outrageously expensive, but maybe you need a change of pace. Maybe you need to stop staring at the same dude or female instructor. So, yeah. Hope that helps. Bottom line, you need to want to pass BEC or financial or regulation or auditing, whatever it applies to whoever else is listening. You need to want to pass this exam, as Eric Thomas says, more than you want to breathe. Juanita writes, I took Intermediate Accounting 2 and passed with a D. It was my last semester in college, and at that point, a person could graduate with a D in that course. I'm laughing because I was also you. I believe it has changed since 2008. Do you think I would struggle with the CPA exam if my background in this course was weak? Okay. A little revelation about old Jeff. I was not what you would call a good student. I escaped college with an accounting degree. I just hated it. At the time, I hated accounting, and I wanted to do anything but go to class. So I'm a pretty transparent dude. All of my scores are on my site under my story. I think my my accounting GPA was it was bad. I mean, we're talking like barely above the Mendoza line for you baseball people. Yeah, it was like 2.3 or something. It was bad. So, and all of the big four people are out there like, this guy, how can he have a website? He's got a 2.3. But your... Your GPA is not a measure of how smart you are. It's usually a measure of your work ethic. But like most things, work ethic can be changed. Mine did. I got out of school and I was like, wow, maybe I should have studied because I would have an easier time finding a job. I did get a job, worked in public accounting, and busted my butt. And I worked for several publicly traded companies, and now I'm self-employed. If any of you are self-employed or will someday be self-employed, you will find that you work harder than you ever have in your life. And so a D in intermediate accounting 2 means nothing as far as your success on the CPA exam. Because people roll out of school, brainiacs, you know, 4.0 and then some, and then they flop. Why? Or they flop on the CPA exam. Why? Well, they assume that they're smart, which they are. And so they can maybe not study as much as you should for the exam. And the CPA exam chews them up and spits them out. So, all of that to say, passing the CPA exam is about your work ethic. And like most things in life, if you fail before, you can change. Like, you have permission to change and do something differently. Identify a weakness in your life, your work ethic, and change it. Stop being a lazy person. Boom. Fixed. So I'm guessing that you scored a D because you didn't work very hard. I scored a D in college in accounting because I didn't work very hard. But I went on to score a 92 in regulation. Why? Because I busted my butt. You will too. Get a good review course. And your review course should teach you everything that you need to know about the exam. And a good review course will assume that you know a debit from a credit and then build from there. Okay? Just my opinion. Yared writes, I'm now asking friends and acquaintances to write me a character reference letter for my license, and I'm not sure what they should include in the letter. Do you have a sample or template? I would really appreciate your usual support and advice. I don't have a sample or template, but just have the person just write that you're dependable, honest, have high integrity, assuming that you do. And, you know, hopefully you don't have to pay them to write that, which is the ironic, right? Just have them be honest. There's no template. Just say, Yard is a person of character, a lot of integrity, maybe include an instance or two, an example. I don't think there's any right or wrong answer. Zara writes, I'm sure I just destroyed that name. Zara writes, I've only passed financial and my credit expires May 24th. I don't have much time left to pass the other section, so they've only passed financial. Credit expires late May. And I don't want to take FAR again. I want to take them all in January, in the January-February window in case I don't pass the section, I can retake in April. Could you suggest a game plan on how I should tackle this? Sure. Well, it's mid December right now, and Christmas is going to take out several days. Just people ease into Christmas and ease out of Christmas, so it's like a fog. It's like a five day deal. So you have auditing, BEC, and regulation left. So whichever one you want to start with, it doesn't matter. We'll say BEC. You start with BEC and you take it. Man, this is going to be tough. Okay. You take it. I mean, you just crank on it and you take it early January. You take regulation late January and you take Audodine late February. You are going to have to start now and just bust it, because taking three sections in 2.5 months would be tough. So basically you're studying 6 days a week, and it's doable for sure, but go to another71.com and you'll see the free stuff. Get my study planner, and it will help you to budget your time. So, I mean, no more movies for you, unless it's like with your significant other, with a strategically planned date night or something. No more movies for you for the next 2 months, or unless it's like with your kids. So, any extracurricular activities you do have to be dual purpose. In other words, yeah, it's okay to have fun, but only if you're also like meeting some other requirement, like spending time with your family. So there's no goofing off just for the sake of goofing off. You can do it though. Sandra writes, I've taken reg for the second time and I think I failed again, even with putting in a lot of study time. While waiting on my reg score, I've been studying for financial. I know I need help to pass the exam, but I don't know what to do. I speak English as a second language, which I've never let stop me, but I feel that I'm a failure. I am working from 8:30 to 7 p.m. every day and have no choice but to stay with this job. In 2010, I earned my bachelor's in accounting, and this year I earned my master's degree. I am finally working on my CPA. Will never give up, but I need to study smart. How can I study differently and be prepared for the exams? Well, let's go back to one of your points. You said you feel like you're a failure. I'm going to borrow something from Zig Ziglar, and I've said it many times. Zig Ziglar says failure is an event, not a person. I failed several times. I'm not a failure. And you're doing something very, very difficult. Working like you are, working from 8:30 to 7 every day, and then trying to study, and English as your second language on top of that, and you got your master's also. That's awesome. So this is difficult, but you can do it. So you start working at 8:30, which I'm guessing, I don't know how long your commute is, but let's say you have to leave 30 minutes early. So you have to leave by 8. And my wife normally needs an hour to get ready in the morning. Although she rarely gets that. Normally she's like putting makeup in the car while I'm driving. And we're driving along. She's doing her eyeliner, pencil, whatever. And I'm like, honey, bump. And so, because I don't want her to stab herself in the eye. Maybe no one else does that. Okay. So basically, you need to start getting ready by 7. Can you get up at 5, hit the button on the coffee pot, do some jumping jacks, and be studying by 5:15? Can you do that? And when you get home, So let's say you get home at 7:30, eat a quick dinner. I don't know if you have family, but if you have family, you can't just start studying. It's just not allowed. But if you don't, then you study from 8 to 9, or maybe 8 to 9:30. That's an hour and a half. And then you added, let's say an hour and a half in the morning. That's 3 hours. Can you study at lunch? Can you afford to get a quick 15, 30 minutes in at lunch? That's just bonus. And then you have your weekends. So you need to get up earlier and you need to study at night. Also, go to another71.com, get this study planner. But hey, you have a lot going for you. You have a job. A lot of people would really like to have a job right now. You have a master's degree. And you got your master's degree as an ESL person. So, hey, you will pass for sure. Just keep after it. Chris writes, I just finished up my MBA last week, and now I need to conquer the exam. I really need to be done in the May-June timeframe. I've only passed reg so far. What are your study suggestions? Well, you can use a plan that I've talked about in the last several questions. So you passed reg, jump on financial, and take it mid to late January, and then jump on BEC and take it at the end of February. And then Audadine in April. So Courtney says, I took Audadine in November and scored a 67. I took BEC in August and failed at the 71. My notice of schedule expires for reg in early February, and I've scheduled reg for February 4th. I'm not sure if I should go through with reg or retake odd. I would continue with reg because you have the NTS, and my rule of thumb is that when you retake an exam, you need to pretend like you've never taken it before and don't cut corners. Go back through your review course again. Even though it's tempting to think that you're, quote, a cram away, you're not. You need to go back through your review course. So continue with reg and then take Audadine, I guess, in April. So study in March and take it in April. Ken says, I have to disagree with you on not bothering to do full practice mock exams. Ken, you're wrong. Just kidding. That demonstrate the real exam experience. Yes, I see your point about just focusing your mind on one module at a time and gathering little fact nuggets that build onto each other as you're progressing through the questions. But I believe that you should experience as close to possible the real testing center environment and practice questions in random order from one topic to a completely different topic. Do you agree with anything that I mentioned here? I see your point. I guess the question is, so let's say you take a practice regulation exam that costs you 3 hours. What is your return on that time investment? I mean, getting the feel for an exam. I mean, what is the true time, the true return on your investment there? Because study time is precious. 3 hours of study time, that's like a day. I mean, that's a day of study time. A good day. And so, I mean, in theory, you could take 10 practice tests, but I don't and spend 30 hours doing it, but anyway, that's maybe a little bit extreme. But can you do it? Sure. And did I ever do that? No. Would I recommend that someone do it who's under a study crunch? No. But I do see your point. I think that your time is better spent doing it the other way. Maybe we can kind of meet in the middle. Definitely go to cpa-exam.org. That's the Uniform CPA Exam website. And they have their little practice exam. That will give you the look and feel of the exam. You do a few questions, work a simulation, get used to the research component. Definitely do that. But Ken, thanks for writing. And I do appreciate you taking the time to disagree, because that's good. And I think we're both right. Gary writes, I've passed 3 parts of the exam and found out I failed regulation with a 74. I'm really upset and just and troubled on how to begin again. I know I must have done badly in the Sims, and wondering if you knew if I could purchase Sims to practice or Sims and multiple choice questions together. I already have online access to Wiley. Well, my voice cracked like I'm 12. That happens when I drink too much coffee, I guess. Your throat gets dry. Well, you have the Wiley online software, which has the Sims. So do I think that you need to buy another product? No. You passed 3 parts already, and you found out you failed regulation with a 74. Well, I failed regulation with a 74, not once, but twice. And your reason for failing the 74 might be different than mine, but I flat out refused to study AMT, 1231, 1245, 1250 assets, and light kind exchanges. I hated it. But guess what? I hated getting a 74 worse. You would think that I would have learned the first time, but I was stubborn. And I rolled into the exam, just briefly touching on those topics, not just digging into them. The second time I scored a 74, I was like, bah. So, and my stubbornness, well, not just stubborn, I was lazy because I didn't want to study it. I hated it. It cost me my financial credit. So what did I do? I dug into those topics, 1231, 1245, 1250, like kind of exchanges, AMT, knew them for exam purposes, knew them really well, scored a 92. So I don't know. So my point is, my guess is that there's an area or two that you're weak on, you really need to dig into those. I'm just guessing. But in doing that, make sure that you don't go back through the other material top to bottom again, because otherwise you'll score less than a 74 the next time. So do everything that you've been doing and do it again, but then go back through and there's got to be a weak area or two. That's why. Anonymous writes, you don't have to you don't have to put anonymous, just put Bob. Bob will be our official code word for anonymous. So Bob writes, hey Bob, I've taken BEC twice and failed. The first time I used a review course, and the second time I used the Wiley software. I need some advice on what to do. Should I stick with BEC or switch to a different exam and save BEC for the end? I'm afraid if I keep failing BEC, I'll want to quit. Yeah. There's certainly a motivational component to the exam, Bob. Well, take it one more time. And if you don't pass, then take another section just for a change of pace. And just because you're sick of seeing the same instructors, change your review course too. Yeah. But I understand. Yeah. Take BEC one more time, switch review courses, and happen again. And otherwise, move on and save BEC for the end. The great finale, the final battle with BEC. Winnie writes, I hope this message finds you well. I wanted to update you and let you know that I passed financial with an 86. I took your advice and read through the notes several times. There were a handful of instances on the exam where something I read the night before was key to answering a question. I've so greatly appreciated another71.com and your commitment to seeing candidates through this exam. All right. Many times throughout this process, when I was tired of studying or need encouragement that my family just couldn't give, I went to the site and read story after story of other candidates' resiliency towards the exam. There are many candidates who find themselves in some really hard conditions to take the exam. I'm fortunate to have a great support of friends and family who saw me through this test. Thank you, Winnie. Winnie didn't have a question, but Winnie took the time to write that, and I appreciate that. I don't really get hate mail anymore. I used to get a lot of it. I think people have just resigned themselves to the fact that that I suck. So I always appreciate getting comments like that. And so thank you, Winnie. I appreciate that. And congratulations on passing financial with an 86. That's outstanding. Tara writes, I'm waiting for my BEC score. Once I pass BEC, should I take financial or audit? I previously took audit and passed but lost my credit. Should I take it before I forget a lot of the material? I was an auditor for 5 years and left that job a year ago, so I'm still pretty familiar with some of the audit material. Yeah, sure. I mean, all else being equal, jump on auditing again because you previously passed it and you have that work experience. I think that's a good idea. Save the beast for last. John says, I just found out I failed audit with a 61. This was my first attempt at taking the exam. I took a CPA review class and was putting 2 to 3 hours of study time on most days. I thought that would be fine. Do you think it's possible to recover from a 61 and pass the next time? Or should I accept the fact that maybe I'm not cut out to be a CPA? Well, that's not a fact at all. And no, you should not accept that. And is it possible to recover? Absolutely. There are people on my site, and I talk to them on the phone. They've been at the exam for 3 or 4 years. And, and again, the insecure exam takers of the world, like, 3 years, I don't want them doing my taxes. Sometimes you just got to chip away at something. Maybe it takes you 1 year, maybe it takes you 3 years. Maybe you fail, maybe you lose credit. It happens. But you just get pissed off and just study harder and you stay determined. Now, it sounds like you put in a lot of time because you were studying 2 to 3 hours a day, but yet you scored a 61. So, it's quite possible that your review course and your learning style are not a match. So, maybe you shop around, watch some demos. If your review course is a PowerPoint style with voiceover and you're not a PowerPoint with voiceover kind of guy, you don't like to highlight, maybe you switch to a course that has a live instructor and a dry erase board. If you have an instructor and a dry erase board and they are getting on your nerves and you hate using their product because of it, find a different course. If you need a live course for accountability, do that. It's your first time taking it, and you scored a 61. So, I wouldn't maybe don't bail on your course yet, but definitely something to consider. But hey, I don't care if it takes you 20 times, the 20 exam sections to pass this thing. You're not going to give up. And so that's that. You do not have permission to give up. Susie writes, I passed BEC in regulation and found out that I failed auditing. I'm waiting on my reg score. What? I passed BEC and reg. Okay. I'm dumb today. Okay. Waiting on my rec score that I took in November, and I'm not sure where to start. I've gotten to the final reviews with my review course. My BEC drops off April 30th, so I need to pass before then. Please let me know what you suggest. Okay, okay. So we're going to operate under the assumption that you passed reg and that you need to pass auditing before April 30th. So, hey, good news. You have two testing windows. So you take it, you study now, you take it in January, February window, and then that gives you some cushion to study in March if you need to. I guess take it earlier than later in the January window. That way you find out earlier, since the ASCP is releasing scores earlier now. That way you know if you need to spend March studying again to take your exam before BEC expires April 30th. So Eric writes, I just got my score for auditing and it was horrible. I'm using the Wiley Test Bank along with my review course. I'm going to retake auditing in January, and then I need to pass financial before April 9th, or I lose BEC. How much more time should I spend studying for auditing, and how should I go about it? Would the ninja notes and flashcards be helpful? If I pass aud in January, how should I go about studying for financial during busy season? Okay, let's go through this again. Auditing score was terrible. Retaking in January. Financial credit is going to drop off in April. Should you use the ninja notes and flashcards? I'm biased, so yes. But I've gotten several emails this week from people who said, I mean, people took the time to email me and said, hey, I passed, and this is specifically auditing, I passed auditing thanks to your notes. Thank you. Because when you help someone accomplish a goal, people usually take time to write you and let you know because they're thankful. And so I've gotten several emails like that this week, and I believe that the ninja notes work. And so, yes, I think it would be helpful. Now, you have the Wiley Test Bank, so you need to keep cranking on those questions for sure. And he says, if I pass auditing in January, how should I go about studying for financial? Okay, because BEC credit drops off April. If you pass auditing in January, then you should get your results pretty quickly. I don't know. Can you fit in another financial exam in February during busy season? I don't know. Can you? I mean, worst case scenario, you were going to lose the money for the notice to schedule. I mean, and so let's say you take auditing at the end of January and you just bust your butt and you take financial at the end of February. So then if you don't pass, then you have another opportunity to take the exam in early April. You're going to be taking two exams in this next testing window, Eric, and your life is not going to be fun, but in the end, it's going to be worth it for sure. Final question. Oh man. Canuck writes, I'm really sorry. I'm terrible with names. I'm not very cultured. Even though I did spend, what did I spend? I spent 6 weeks in Indonesia once, and I lived with the Huth family, so I guess I am more cultured than I think. That was an experience. All right. When you say you need at least 6 to 8 weeks at 20 hours per week to study for auditing, is this for someone who works in an audit firm? How about someone who's never audited in their life? That's an arbitrary rule of thumb. And I think that's for someone who has never done an audit in their life, I guess. So if you've been doing auditing, maybe you study fewer hours. I mean, again, it's arbitrary. When you're ready, you're ready. But even people who work in audit, you still need to do the same amount of multiple choice questions as someone who doesn't. The difference is things might click easier. The downfall is that you have it in your head the way that you do things when you're on an audit engagement, whereas the exam is in a vacuum and it's a standardized test. So maybe they don't do things quite the way that you do in real life. Isn't that funny how things in college really aren't how they are in real life? Your college accounting professor can teach you all the theory in the world, but they don't prepare you for doing the books of a trucking client who brings in a greasy paper bag full of a year's worth of receipts and 11 bank statements and says, here you go. Create financial statements. Did you catch that? 11 bank statements. So the exam is theory, so watch out for that. All right, well, that's all the time that we have for today. If you have a question or comment, you can go to another71.com, click in the upper right-hand corner, ask Jeff, and I will be glad to read your question or comment on the air. The air, as if this is the air. This is the interwebs. Thank you again, everyone. And check out my Facebook page, facebook.com/another71. Leave questions and comments there as well. This has been CPA Reviewed, the podcast of another71.com. I am your host, Jeff Elliott. Thanks a lot for listening. Take care.